Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today's no exception. We've got a great guest, two great guests, in fact. But first, a quick thank you to our sponsor. The Real Estate Espresso Podcast is brought to you by International Coffee Farms. International Coffee Farms grows and sells specialty coffee in Boquete, Panama. They now have 11 fully operational coffee farms, and they are 100% sold out. They are accepting reservations for farm number 12. If the idea of owning a safe, diversified offshore investment is intriguing to you, check out International Coffee Farms at internationalcoffeefarms.com. That's internationalcoffeefarms.com. We are back here on the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing, all the way from Dallas, Texas. Welcome to the show, Mark and Tammy Kenny.
Hey, Victor. Thanks for having us on.
Victor, nice to hear your voice again.
Great to have you. You know, we've developed, I think, quite a strong friendship over the last 3 or 4 years, and surprising you haven't been on the show sooner. But maybe for the listeners who don't know you, why don't we start, just give a little bit of your background, how you got into the world of multifamily apartment investing.
I started when I was 22. I was at in college and started looking at small multifamily, 2 to 4 units. Bought my first property, I think, when I was 22 years old, and did the corporate world stuff too. CPA for a while, IT consulting. I know you did IT as well, Victor, and kind of got burned out of that and got to the point where I needed to make a change to, you know, kind of have a better family life, frankly, because I was working minimum 80 hours a week doing IT with my own IT business. And I said, well, in order for me to replace my income, I need to start syndicating, which just means we're going to partner with other people that bring capital to a deal alongside with us. That was in 2013, and started buying. Took us almost a year to find our first deal. Unfortunately, we've bought well over 4,500 units since then. Currently have about 4,000 left. We've sold some, and that's what we've been kind of doing. Typically buying bigger properties now, at least 100 units. Biggest one we did was 454 units.
And when we started, we, like Mark said, we were buying small multis. We started off with like 1 to 4 units at a time, and we had a total of somewhere between 13 and 17 at any given point. And we were the landlords. We were the fix-it people. We were hanging drywall and fixing toilets. And
not very good at it either.
And we learned back then that we did not like the landlording aspect of it, which is when we got back into real estate in 2013, we knew that we didn't want to start small. We wanted to go big, and that syndication was the way to go.
You know, I think this is a very important point. One of the things that I talk about frequently, one of the biggest mistakes I see people make over and over and over again, and by the way, I made the same mistake, is starting out too small. It's intimidating to go out and say, you know, I'm going to buy a 300-unit property. And yet, how did you overcome that? Because I think a lot of listeners are going to be asking themselves that very same question.
I think for us, it was our why was big enough that I really had to do something, and it needed to be decent size. It was scary. I mean, the first property we bought was 64 units, so it wasn't 100. We looked at 100 plus units, and we happened to get a 64 unit deal. I really wasn't scared on the size per se, because we'd already been doing little properties, and I knew it was going to be easier actually doing a larger property. My biggest fear really was the money raise piece of it. I don't know if you had any concerns, Tam, doing the...
No, I mean, we started off as a passive in our first syndication, so that gave us a little bit of a comfort level. And then we partnered up with someone who had more experience than us, who had a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac track record. So that kind of made the process a little easier for us, I think.
It did.
I love that. So this is a business like any other business. You talked a little bit about passive investing, but there's no such thing as a passive business. You definitely have to roll up your sleeves, even for what you're doing today. Talk a little bit about that, who you needed to bring into your team, in order to have that well-rounded complementary set of skills to have a viable business.
Yeah. So a lot of the people you need involved in this, you don't have direct control over. You know, we had to bring in selling brokers. So people that are listed properties and selling them to us, we had to bring in attorneys, you know, transaction attorneys, as well as SEC attorneys, because we're selling securities when we raise capital. CPAs, tax, you know, property tax, property management companies, mortgage brokers.
And we've gone through a couple of different property management companies and more than one location. So just having that experience to know what is a good performing property management company and what isn't makes us even better at what we do now, because we'll know how long to give them to perform on a property before we start looking at all their alternatives.
Yeah, I think we fell into who's the lowest cost provider in some cases, property management or maybe a GC. And from experience, I'll tell you, you typically get what you pay for. A lot of cases, you're better off paying a little more and getting a higher caliber property manager and general contractors. In the long run, it'll save you money and it will result in a lot less headaches.
That certainly mirrors my experience as well. I mean, whether you talk about general contractors, they run the full spectrum. You know, there's the two guys in a pickup truck, and then there's the ones that can build a stadium and everything in between. When you've gone out to, you know, undertake some improvement projects, or whether you hire a property manager, what echelon of partners are you looking for?
For the rehab?
Whether it's for the construction or whether it's for the property management, are you looking for property manager that has, you know, 500 units under management, or are you looking for one that has 15,000?
Yeah. So for us, I think first off, you want to find somebody that specializes in your particular asset class. So if we're buying a 1970 property or 1980 property, I don't want a property management company that typically manages, you know, 2000 plus construction. It's a totally different tenant base, and the way they have to react and potentially somewhat, if you want to say treat, the tenants are completely different. We definitely want someone that's in that submarket that manages typically several thousand plus units. Someone that does, you know, a couple hundred units here and there. They have three or four properties, and it's not uncommon those three or four properties are one owner that they're dealing with, and they could be out of business in that submarket in any given day. So long track record for sure. That typically we want people thousands of units that they manage. They've been around that submarket for a long time, and they specialize in that particular asset class.
Yeah. Another thing I would say to be careful of perhaps is a property management company who owns their own property in that marketplace that you are wanting them to manage. We have heard multiple stories of somebody's property being neglected, because if a property management company owns a particular property, that asset will take preference. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Right, because they're competing with their customers.
That's right.
So talk a little bit about what markets you're in. Now, you live in Dallas, but most of your properties are outside Dallas. A lot of people think that you want to be within driving distance, 10, 20, 30 minutes from your home is where you should be investing. You've not done that.
Right. We own a decent amount in Dallas. We do own other in Texas as well, outside of Houston and San Antonio, but we've really been buying a lot more in the Southeast. So we're also in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee. And really, you go to a new market, it does take you some time potentially to figure out who are the good players in town. And you ask around and things like that. But you might go through a cycle where you have to get rid of certain people, property manager or GCs and things like that. But, you know, I tell people I've fired property manager companies in Dallas, right next to where I live, and we fired property management companies in other states where I don't live. But the key is to have someone there. You really need someone boots on the ground that knows that market. So in Atlanta, I have a partner. He's a Marcus Millichap broker. He's been there 26 years, and we've done deals together. And we buy in Memphis, and there's a property management company that has been there forever and just done a phenomenal job. And they'll go, I don't have to jump on a plane to look at the property. They'll go by, look at it first, scope it out, take pictures, and then report back. So it saves us a lot of time by doing that. But it's important to have someone that has that local expertise, because if you see them buying in Dallas, well, there are all kinds of different areas in Dallas, and some are more attractive than others. And you don't know that if you live in another state, you're not familiar with the area.
Now, the other thing that you've done in order to scale your business is you've also launched into the real estate education business and married the two together, married the idea of investing in multifamily and creating a bit of a following from an education standpoint. You want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah. So we know you do a lot of education too. For us, if someone would have said, hey, you guys are going to be doing educational seminars and coaching one-on-one, someone would have said that a few years ago, I probably would have thought they were crazy, frankly. For us, it really became, you know, something where we're like, well, we know there are people out there and there's pros and cons, but we wanted to set ourselves up to be a little bit different and really have a much more open community and have the ability to teach all aspects of it, and then have the people being coached they can decide how they want to structure deals, who they want to partner with. And it has turned in where we've gotten deal flow that way. And that really wasn't the reason we started it, frankly. People in our group aren't required to partner with us. They can certainly if they want to.
Yeah. So another reason that we really like the idea of our educational group is for community. Everybody likes to be around others that have a similar passion, and real estate is definitely one of our passions that Mark and I like to do together. And it really has become our circle of trust, our circle of friends. And I can't imagine not having our group right now because we are meeting so many incredible people.
It's a lot of work, as you know, too, Victor. I know you help people coach and certain things. It's a lot of work, but seeing somebody get their first 100-unit deal when they thought they had to buy a 2 or 3 unit it's great to see that happen.
Right. And also showing people that they don't have to do it all. They don't have to do every aspect of the syndication. They can actually just take pieces of the syndication, like raising money or signing on a loan to become part of the general partnership. That makes it a lot easier for people to get involved in a syndication quickly.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, you know, you're one of the few folks out there that are doing this together, husband and wife team. I think about my relationship with my wife, and I have a wonderful relationship with her. I'm luckiest guy on earth. I don't know that I would necessarily want to be in business with her. A spousal relationship and a business relationship are different. How have you managed to manage those dual relationships simultaneously?
Well, I guess it helps that we work in different parts of the house.
We just text each other.
We do. We're in just the opposite rooms, and we're texting and calling each other instead of just walking to the room and chatting.
That's funny.
Yeah, it does help that we have learned our roles. Mark knows what his role in the business is, and he knows what my role is. And I try not to interfere with his, and I try to invite him a little bit into mine, but I'm the ultimate decision maker on my role. So I think as long as you know what you're each good at and can respect who's kind of like head dog in that particular role, I think it works out well.
And to value the differences. So being more of an analytical type guy, I would tend to think, you know, would have thought incorrectly that, well, the technical aspects are more important than, you know, the branding or the marketing and things like that, right? I used to put probably a higher value on the technical aspects, and it's completely wrong for one, but understanding that everyone has a role. And for us, frankly, it's helped us tremendously in our relationship, because when I did IT, I literally would sleep 3 hours a night and work at least 80 hours a week consistently. And Tammy didn't understand the business, and I would ignore her, you know, because I just didn't have time and things like that. So this has given us the opportunity to share a passion. We work really well together. I think a lot of couples wouldn't. Rarely do we have disagreements, and if we do, I win.
I just let them think he won, and it's all good.
But it's really the value, placing a value on what the other person's doing. Like Tamil mentioned, I'll tell her sometimes, well, you decide. I don't care. Just you decide. And she'll make a decision. And then, you know, she has the right to do that.
Well, if folks want to get in touch with you or learn a little bit more, what's the best way to do that?
Email is good. My email is Mark, M-A-R-K, at thinkmultifamily.com.
And mine is Tammy, T-A-M-I, at thinkmultifamily.com.
Great to connect with you again, and I'm sure I'll see you the next time I'm in Dallas. I don't know exactly when that's going to be because it's not on my calendar yet, but definitely in the next month or two. So for the listeners at home, hopefully you found this both educational and inspirational. You don't need to be starting out doing your own small 1, 2, 3 unit projects. Don't be scared to go after the bigger projects, because the bigger projects can afford the necessary skills that you need to complete the project. If you're trying to do things that are below critical mass, it's going to be a struggle. So thank you, Mark and Tammy, for sharing your experience. And for the listeners at home, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.